But first, yay, the buses are running in Halifax again, and they're free all month. I know tons of people took advantage of that, certainly yesterday for St. Patrick's Day. But what if they were always free? What if they were? What if you could just get onto a bus, not pay a thing? You could take the bus 20 times a day. That's a proposal made by Ben Seashell in his recent article online. He's in studio right now. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks to you.
So I saw your article. Actually, I saw it in a tweet and I picked up on it. And I just thought it's a great conversation. So, you know, what compelled you to look into this possibility?
Well, I think the idea of having more people on buses, more people out of cars, and more people riding the bus on a daily basis just to get around is a good thing. It's a good thing for a lot of reasons, just for reasons of pollution and greenhouse gases. It reduces traffic and congestion on the road. If you think about 40 people that are fitting on a bus, that's potentially 40 cars that aren't on the road. So you have fewer accidents, fewer people in their cars. It also makes for less wear and tear on the road, so less costs in the long run for infrastructure, for bridges and things like that. And so if you remove the fares from buses, you're basically you're taking away a barrier from people riding the bus, and you're getting more people on the buses.
So it's interesting, too. I don't know if you saw the opinion piece by Gail Lethbridge in the Herald today.
I did, yeah.
It was very interesting because she really painted the picture of riders of the bus as a we versus them kind of argument, that the people who take the bus are the people who can't afford to drive cars. And we saw that develop, kind of the undercurrent of that develop through the strike. Taking the fare away would completely change the, and I'm saying this in air quotes, yes, I am, the society of the bus.
I think you're right. And if you go to a bigger city, if you go to Montreal, you go to Toronto, New York, I mean, everybody takes the bus. Everybody takes the subway in those kind of cities. There's no stigma associated with it for it being for poorer people or anything like that. And the bus is just the best way to get around.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, but then I guess who pays for it then?
Right.
Because that's what you're going to get. You're going to get people calling saying, I'm not going to put my tax dollars so you can get to work.
Exactly. No, and that's a fair question. And when we talk about that, first of all, it's worth noting that there would be some savings on free buses. You wouldn't have the cost of printing up the tickets, printing the transfers, printing the monthly passes. You wouldn't have the maintenance of the fare boxes or the personnel costs for people to tally up all the money, theft insurance. So you would get some savings.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you do have, of course, some costs. Now, who's going to pay for it? The same people that pay for it now, which is the citizens of HRM, except in a slightly different way. So right now, the fare portion of the Metro Transit budget is about 37%, is what Peter Kelly said the other day in the Metro, and so the rest comes from general tax revenue. And so, but I would put out there that if you can get more people riding the buses, in the long term, you're going to save money. You're going to offset all the costs from the extra costs that are going to come from putting free buses on the road. And I also want to put out there that we subsidize car travel quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
All our private cars, every time we build a road, we build a highway. We don't talk about that as much as we seem to be talking recently about the cost of running bus fares. And just to give you a couple examples, the Washmill Lake Underpass, which was in the news last year,
Yes, went way over budget.
Exactly, $8 million over budget, $16 million total. I mean, right now we're talking about widening Barriers Road, which may or may not happen, but if that does happen, that's another $21 million or so. And that's just two small areas of road infrastructure. And we spend billions at all levels of government subsidizing our car travel. And so it's just it's a question of choices. What do we want to put it into? Do we want to put it into something that's actually going to reduce pollution, that's going to reduce traffic, that's going to make people be able to get around more efficiently?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want to build roads and have people, everyone in their own car, and creating more traffic and having to spiral out into further and further suburbs with more and more infrastructure.
Well, and it's funny you should say that because the Washmill Overpass, it's a really great example. I've taken that maybe since it opened, I don't know, I've taken it maybe 8 times. So if it was $16 million, that's a $2 million car trip I took every single time. So,
exactly.
Every time I drive it, it gets cheaper. But if it was buses and it was a free ride and the bus was full, the cost per ride, essentially it's tiny. It's fractional compared to what it costs to make a road so I can drive it on my car.
You're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, we're not even talking about things like tax breaks to oil companies or tax incentives to car companies. Any business, if you use a company car, you get a tax break. I mean, all those things, I'm not saying necessarily none of them should exist, but each one of those is indirectly a subsidy that we are putting into car travel when we could be diverting some of that money to be putting it into public transit.
No, but I think at the bottom of this is also the fact that, you know, and you mentioned it in your article, that this may not work in giant cities where there are integrated, you know, transit systems, Toronto or New York, for example, for it to be completely free, but that in a smaller municipality like Halifax, if we jack up our routes and really make the system efficient, this could work in a city this size.
Yeah. Now, there's one great example that I saw of a city that's just about the same size as Halifax. It's a city in Belgium called the Hasselt. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but they're a city that the core of the city is about 70,000 people, and then they have suburbs around them, which is about 300,000. So that's pretty
similar
pretty,
in size. Yeah.
And they've had completely free transit for the last 15 years. So, you know, their council decided that this was something that was important to them, and it's been a massive success, and their ridership has gone up something like 1,000%. So things are possible. And you're right when you say that this can't be the only thing now. Most of us, like me, for example, I drive to work sometimes, and the reason I don't take the bus, it's not because of the cost, right? It's because the buses are slow or they don't come on the right time. And so free fares would have to be something that would go along with other measures to make people take the buses more. And frequency is the biggest one, I think.
Now, the other thing, though, too, is that how many of these stats, if we're going to say it'll increase ridership, how many of these new riders that we would get on the free system would have been drivers, or would they have been people who would have been cycling or walking to begin with?
Well, that's a good point, and it's really hard to know that. As far as we know, based on the research I've done, that when you reduce a fare, there's a rule. I don't want to get too technical here, but basically, for every 10% you reduce the fare, you get a 3% increase in ridership. So is that how many of those people come from cars? Well, you need some more sort of long-term studies to be able to do that. And I definitely grant you that, you know, we need to make our buses better, more efficient, maybe more things like park and ride for more people to take them. In some examples, in some sort of pilot studies that they did in the U.S. in the 1970s, they were finding that, yeah, people ridership was increasing, but it's true, it wasn't always the people who were abandoning their cars and coming into buses. So definitely a big part of the equation would be making the bus system faster, more efficient, more frequent.
So this, it's just a fascinating conversation to have, because I think that it's something that we just discount, that no, we all have to pay for this. You have to put money in the fare box. It never occurred to me before reading that maybe this is something plausible, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but you know, in the near future.
Sure. I mean, it's a conversation I think is worth having. And you know, there's one place in Canada where buses are not completely free, but they are free in the center of town. And you might be surprised to find that that's Calgary, you know, center of the oil patch, where people are driving cars. You think of Calgary, you think of people in SUVs and urban sprawl. But Calgary has made their transit system free in the center of the city.
Get out.
So it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. You know, there are measures we could take. It could be on the peninsula. It could be any number of things. It could be for seniors to start. There's lots of well thought out plans we could do to have this. And you're right, we're so used to paying the fare, we might not think of it. But think of something like libraries. Libraries are free. You know, people can go into libraries. Does that mean that the sky has not fallen, I guess? You know, libraries are
they're sustainable.
Are
they're exactly. Growing. So, we're building a new $50 million library, right? That's a very good point. And so, you know, that's a good idea. You know, $2 if you live out in Timberley or Bedford, $2 to get on a fast bus. And then once you're on the peninsula, take the bus all you want all day, go for lunch, do whatever, and then, you know, pay your $2 home. We could do that.
Exactly. And it's interesting you say $2 too, because even, like I said before, if you decrease the fare by a certain amount, you're going to get more riders. It's interesting to note, too, that if you increase the fare, the opposite thing happens. People tend to take the bus less. And that's why what Peter Kelly's talking about when he goes out there and says that we're going to raise the fares, when he's trying to, you know, justify whatever they did with the transit strike, that could be a very counterproductive measure, because that could actually decrease ridership, meaning that Metro Transit is going to get less in revenues in order to make up the budget.
Fascinating conversation. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Ben Seashell, we will put a link to your story on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed, and hope to hear more from you soon.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.